from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. Glad to have you here, man. Lots of things going on. We're waiting for ice here in Michigan, waiting for it to happen. But in the meantime, we got other things going on. We got muzzleloader season coming up here in Michigan. Have the late bow season. Also some late waterfowling going on, predator hunting, trapping going on. Lots of things we can do in the meantime. And if you're out deer hunting right now, you need something to a little bit of an attractant, make sure you hit up the Lucky Buck, lucky-buck.com. There's a link on our website, and they have been providing service to us here and some product, and we've been using it for the past couple of years to great success. Lots of been watching lots of growth in the antlers, getting lots of deer in close. And even this year, we've had them up close and personal, but nothing I've wanted to take. All the big ones we've seen have been a couple hundred yards away, and that's just not going to happen with a bow. And it's definitely not going to happen in the lower portion of Michigan, unless you're using the new straight-walled, shells for the new limited rifle zone here in southern Michigan. But I prefer to use my bow. But we're going to hopefully get some ice here before terribly long. And we are going to be out there doing some ice fishing, looking forward to first ice. And we always love talking to my buddy Brian Brosdahl, pro staffer extraordinaire and ice angling guru here with us on the show. Bro, welcome back, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Duran.
Anytime. You know, it's always good to have you here. And I tell you what's really cool is you guys are driving on ice right now.
Yes, and it's not everywhere, but you know, we're ice conscious, and we're safety is very much in mind. But the ice in some of the lakes have been frozen for three weeks. We're about 2 to 3 weeks ahead of everything now. There's the one lake I was on. I was in a Geo Tracker two door. Real light, little four-wheel drive, and I had 13 inches and 13 inches of ice, black, hard ice with very little snow on it. It was amazing. I drilled my way out there, then I brought the light truck out there. The ice didn't pop a crack, and even when you're on thick ice in the wintertime, it'll move a little bit and pop a crack. It didn't do that, so it's just amazing. And some lakes only have 7 to 10 inches of ice, but it's a different year. Iowa, some years don't get ice until January, and they're fishing northern Iowa right now, and they're actually fishing in northern Illinois, which is some years they get ice for only 2 weeks, but now they're ice fishing. They got 2 to 4 inches of ice on the northern lakes in northern Illinois, but the warm weather's coming. So, you know, if the water temperature's cool, we don't have to worry. It'll come back if it goes away.
Now, bro, let's talk about ice safety here, because we post something up on the Facebook page every year, and it gets shared and shared and shared. It's about basic ice safety should you go in. But we could talk about this the first part of every year, and somebody still goes through because, you know, we don't reach everybody. But you have been ice fishing your whole life. This is what you do for a living, essentially. So give us your tips about first ice. What is something that you are very adamant about when you go out to the first ice?
When you go out first ice, don't take any chances and go out on real thin stuff. Personally, I like to have, for me on foot, in fishing shallow areas, I like a minimum of 3, and then I want a solid 4 inches of ice if I'm going over deeper water. You know, if I'm fishing outside of the weed beds, I want about 4 inches of ice. And that's going to change for everybody because, you know, I'm a heavy dude and there's some light ones, but always have ice picks with you. I can't stress that enough, because the few deaths that actually happen around the Midwest every year are people who don't have ice picks and they can't pull themselves out. But, one of the designs in the Frable suits now this year is they're all flow-through. So if you do fall in the water, they have ice picks that are stationary on the top of the suit, and if you have the coat off, you can put ice picks on your bibs. So they always have them there and available is very important. And then also, you know, if you do fill up, all the water flows right out of your suits at the sleeves and at the bottom of the suit. So the safety is very much in mind in getting out if you do fall in. And it's, you know, they averaged the number of deaths in our state since the 70s, and sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less. There's about 3 people on average since the 70s, and of course it's you know, a lot more people do go through the ice, but I think ice safety is starting to pay off, and more people are living. And if you're going to go, have rope, have a friend with, don't take chances, ice picks, chisel, and make sure you measure how thick the ice. Don't guesstimate.
No
guesstimation, you know. You want to make sure that you have a ruler, and I have a Frabel scoop. When I drill an 8-inch hole, I'll put the scoop underneath and put my finger on the measurement, and and there's a lake I was on had 13. It was just amazing. But if it's, even if you're on 3, 4, 5 inches, measure the entire way. You've got to drill holes. First ice is a little bit more work, but the fish ain't worth taking a dive for.
No, we spoke with David A. Rose a couple of weeks ago about the new addition to the Frabel suits with the ice picks. I, too, have the Frabel ice picks. It's nice because they go right around your neck. You know, they're not intrusive in any way. And they have that little sheath, the retractable sheath with the pick. So should you need it, it will be there, but you're not stabbing yourself.
Oh, absolutely. They're retractable. And, you know, there's some other things to remember. You know, when you're out there, if you go on ice too thin, you know, less than 3 inches or 4 inches, you know, if you fall, let's say you fall, you know, it would really hurt the kneecap. But, you know, you could go through. You're hitting the ice really hard. I always like to say just make sure you got enough ice and have a partner. And rope is cool. I mean, I always have rope with you. And if you're going to pull a fish out, so I like my Frabel to come in or pull it behind me on a rope. And if something happens, you know, then I could probably get a, well, it might take more than Heather to pull me out. But, you know, I just, you know, at least you got a rope there and some safety equipment. And the whole thing is cushions from your boat. Just take that cushion out.
Sure.
To throw at them. And I know ice safety is very important. And, you know, measure it. Figure out ways. Chisel, drill. I've seen some guys on the internet using a hand drill and then measuring it that way. But as long as you get a ruler or some kind of make sure. And then ice is always different because if there's snow frozen in it, if it's not black ice, if it's opaque with scales of busted up ice, all that stuff makes a difference and takes away the ice integrity.
It does. I mean, we get a little bit of snow on the top of the ice, you know, or it melts down a little bit, and then you get that trap door ice. That can, if you don't go through, it'll still scare the heck out of you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you got to be careful, and there's many different levels of going through the ice, a leg or by shore and all that stuff. But, you know, safety is very important, and we'll get there soon enough. Fish where you can. I always say I love catching big bluegills, but if the big bluegills are off the weed bed in the basin, I'll wait. I'll fish for perch. I'll fish for pike. I'll fish whatever I can get at somewhere that if I got 3 inches of ice, I'm not going to go over deep water. And I like 4. Obviously, 4 is my favorite because I'm a big coot. But I go where I can fish in the shallows, and it's surprising how many fish are still hanging there from the fall bite and go to the good spots when it's safe.
Brian Brosdahl is our guest here, as you can find him. A link on our Meet the Pros section at wildmichiganradio.com. And we're going to talk more with you, bro, about first ice fishing here. Again, in Minnesota, you're driving out there on some of the smaller lakes with 13 inches of ice. Here in southern Michigan, we're still waiting to get even the skim. We had some really good-looking ice started in November, but then we got a bit of a warm-up. We had some things kind of happen here. So, you know, we'll see. We'll get back to that in a little bit. We'll join Bro with some more information. We're probably going to find out what's new from Northland as well. So stick around. I'm going to speak with Brian Brosdahl here next on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Nick month of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Looking forward to seeing Nick Munt and the rest of the Bone Collector Brothers down at the ATA show coming up in January. We'll be hitting the road for that. Also, I want to thank our friends at Timber Freak Game Calls. Mike Perkins and Timber Freak joining us here on the Wild Michigan Show. The family, if you will, some great calls. Made an awesome, awesome-looking pink grunt call for Sarah Marie and... I think mine's coming here very soon as well, and we'll be showing pictures of that on the Wild Michigan Facebook page. But right now we're talking fishing with our resident guru of the ice angling, Brian Brosdahl. You all know him as Bro. And Bro, of course, we're looking at first ice, and let's talk a little bit about first foods, because the water temps have started to come down. Fish are getting a little slower, a little more lethargic. They've had a decent fall, but a short one to feed and to fill up for the winter cold. But are we still, are we instantly going to the smaller, small types of lures right now?
Well, you know, they're going to bite good. It depends on the pressures and the fronts coming through, but you know, I always like to have a smaller spoon if you're chasing perch, and then if they're not taking it, then I'll go down to plastics like a bloodworm. A Northland Impulse bloodworm is awesome for perch that are kind of neutral, and you know, waxies work great in some places. In other places, it's better. You're better off using a minnow head, but just size down a 4-inch spoon, even a 32nd ounce 4-inch spoon. Now they have the little tiny ones. And if the perch are feeding on other perch, they cannibalize. So kind of notice what if they cough up perch or if they're coughing up crayfish, gobies, whatever they're coughing up, try to match the hatch and put whatever's on that's coming out. And if you're fishing bluegills have just unbelievable vision. So thinner lines than you would use for perch. You know, 3-4 pound test is great for perch in case you hook a walleye. But if you're going for bluegills, I'll have rods... 3 at the most, and 2-pound test. Every now and then we'll play with 1-pound test, but anything less than 3, you're bending over to get that kill, especially if it's an easy one. You can't swing them up. But, you know, no spin is very important. Check out different plastics, but if you over-jig them, they swim in a semicircle, mm-hmm. and go to a straight line reel. The word straight line is a name I came up with when we brought kind of an ice fishing fly reel to the market, and gets used all over the place, but we coined the phrase over at Frable, and there's a lot of companies making them now. But this year, we have one that reels in 22 inches of line every one turn.
Holy cow.
0.71. Yeah, it'll, if you give it to the wrong person, they'll reel the fish right up to the rod tip in just a few turns. So, but there's no spin, and now you can use it in any depth. If you fish deep water, if you're fishing, you know, even Higgins, mm-hmm. You can. Can hold that bait still and catch more fish. If it spins like crazy, just don't like it.
Speaking with Brian Brosdahl here on Wild Michigan, let's talk about that straight line reel you guys have from Frable. See, here's my thing. I tend to reel with my right hand, and I think that's opposite. Is that how it is this year again?
It's actually on the left side, and there's a YouTube video that's going to show you how to reverse it. It's real simple, and you just take the reverse bearing out, flip it over, and then you can put it on the other side. And we've done that, and it's really easy, and it works really great on both sides. So you can put it on either side. But the cool thing this year, for all those people who are fishing ergonomically and holding it, like a pistol grip or baton grip,
mm-hmm.
or chopstick grip, you can. There's two different necks. There's a short neck, so you can put it right in your hand. But all the existing reels that are multiplier reels spin on the backside. Well, this one doesn't. It has a plate over it, so you can hold the reel, you grip the reel or the rod, or if you like the long extension to get the reel away from the rod, it comes with both, whether you get the reel or the combo. So you can choose how you want it, and it's a double drag washer system, so sure. It's silky smooth. And everything you can imagine in straight lines and multipliers, we've gone through and made sure that this thing works great.
Speaking with Brian Brosdahl here on Wild Michigan. Bro, let's real quickly, you brought up the minnow head, and we talked to the folks at Northland about this last year, how they had made one in Impulse. And again, why is the minnow head kind of a real good tool for fishing, for ice fishing.
Well, you know, it's bulk and scent and all of that. When fish come up, if you just got a plain hook, there's not as much enticement. It makes more. Everything makes noise in the water. They can pick their lateral line. So bulky baits and presentations work well. Bulky plastics and having a minnow head or a fish eye on your treble hook works really well. If you don't have a minnow, try it. It might work really well. Most of the time, it works better than any other plastic. But there is time for bait. I love stopping at the bait shops. My favorite thing to do is get minnows, waxies, and visit, see how everybody's doing, and then head out on the lake. You want to arm yourself with everything, and I always have plastics with me as well as live bait. But there are times that Northland Impulse scent will outfish anything. And the scent is great, and then the colors, too. So color, silhouette, bulky profile, that's everything.
Right. Well, and that's good to know, too, because we've used Impulse stuff, and the fact that they infuse them with actual bait is really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. It's a really nice thing to have, and they've infused it now in the bloodworms. They have the shrimp, the scuds that we had before mm-hmm. that had the other scent. Now are coming in Impulse, so a lot of people are waiting for those. And I get emails from all over the place, as far away as 10,000 Islands, New York, and how the scuds absolutely slaughter the perch. And I asked the guys, I said, did you show everybody out there who wasn't catching them? No, we kept it a secret. And I'm like, well, thanks. They absolutely hammered them. They said the fish were coming up to greet it as it was coming down. So try different plastics. If it looks like what they want to eat, they'll hit it. And even a mayfly, I've got videos I show in my seminar where we're using waxworms, we're using maggots and minnow heads, and they just wouldn't touch anything. Spoons and jigs. We switched over to an Impulse mayfly, and the fish were swimming up. You can see in their tail how quick they're moving and flaring their gills. They would come up and hammer it. So if you get the right shape of the right bait down there, they're going to eat it. Change colors also.
Yeah, and it's important to too. If you're fishing without any form of electronics, man, don't give up. Don't spend all day fishing with the same thing. Work your things around.
Oh, absolutely. You know, move around and grab an AquaView, drop it down, look around, see if the fish are even there. If they're not there, drill a few holes. Don't do a drill-a-thon where you never stop drilling. The fish never get time to just move naturally. But drill a smattering of holes. Go through and check them with the AquaView. If the fish come over, bring it up and drop it down in downview mode. Now at the St. Paul Ice Show this weekend, which is that monster ice show, they're going to debut a carrying case for the aquarium that goes around your neck, gets mm-hmm. wrapped around your chest, so you can walk around hands-free and fish. It's just deadly. When you watch that fish take the hook in and then you set the hook, your hookups are almost perfect, and you know they're down there. That's the nice thing about that micro. You got to check it out if you haven't seen it.
No, I've got, matter of fact, you helped me out with a micro AquaView and greatly appreciate it. Brian Brosdahl, appreciate you joining us here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Well, thanks for having me. You guys have a great night. You'll see you at Novi in January.
Novi, January. The bro will be there. We've got your tickets. Check us out at wildmichiganradio.com.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Gretzinger from Michigan Out of Doors Television, and you're listening to the man, the myth, the legend, Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan.
Like a honeybee beating on my screen door, I got a little buzz in my head. Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. So glad to have you here on this weekend. Gonna do a couple of news stories for you from around the state and around the country, all involving predators. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources conservation officers are seeking some information on two separate wolf poaching cases that recently occurred in Mackinac and Schoolcraft counties in the Upper Peninsula. First case occurred near the Mackinac-Luce County line, close to M-117, just southwest of Newberry. The wolf was found near County Road 468 in Lakefield Township on the 26th of November, died of a gunshot wound as determined through forensic examination. The wolf had been killed at another location and was transported to where it was dumped. Now, the second poaching occurred in Schoolcraft County near Gulliver in Doyle Township. In this case, a wolf, which was part of a wildlife study, was killed and the tracking collar was removed and disposed of. Evidence of the poaching was also located November 26th. Reward is being offered for information that leads to the arrest of the subject or multiple subjects involved. Anyone with any possible information on these cases is asked to call the Report All Poaching line, the hotline, at 800-292-7800. That's 800-292-7800. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call or contact the local DNR office or conservation officer. Information may be left anonymously. Callers may remain anonymous and still be eligible to receive a reward. And the maximum penalty for poaching a wolf is 90 days in jail or a fine up to $1,000 or both, plus a reimbursement of $1,500 to the state for the animal. Poaching convictions also usually include a suspension of hunting privileges for a period of 4 years. Despite the fact that we have some wolf issues and we have some have had wolf hunting seasons here in Michigan, illegal is still illegal. Okay, poaching is still poaching. As much as we do not like an animal or a species, we have seasons. We have limits, bag limits for these things. And wolves fall into that same category. We fight to keep our hunting privileges alive here in Michigan. Poaching is not a way to do that. It's a great way to get the anti-hunting community riled up, rally around their cause, and have the people who do not know, the people who are not educated as we are, who have not taken the time to educate themselves on the facts of hunting and what good it does, not only for the economy, but for the population of the animals as well. It gives them fuel for a fire. So don't give them any more fuel than what they already have. Don't give them any unnecessary causes to rally around, because we as hunters and anglers need to do what is ethical and what is correct by the letter of the law. No matter how much we disagree, no matter how much we dislike a particular species, we have rules. We need to follow them, and that way it gives the anti-hunting community nothing to complain about. And there are some charges, and we discussed this on our Facebook page, charges pending. And when you have 134 total hunting violations against you, something is going to stick. Illinois Conservation Police investigation into the television show Wired Arrow Outdoors TV show has resulted in the company's owners, pro staff members, and guests being charged with 134 wildlife violations. During the investigation, it was determined the pro staff members had unlawfully harvested a total of 18 whitetail, including 10 bucks, 8 does, nearly all of which were aired on Pursuit Channel. Now, I went into this a little bit farther, looked at the charges. You know, the charges are charges, okay? If you have 134 violations against you, so again, something is going to stick. And you know, again, the TV shows, all people need to be held to the same accountability. Because you are a TV show, because you are a pro staff member, you are not exempt from anything. You know, again, we've said things like this before. If you don't like what we say, you don't like the show, don't listen, don't follow us on Facebook, don't like us in general. Okay, you are not above reproach. And so many times I have been so disenchanted by this business, by somebody getting on a pro staff, and all of a sudden it goes right to their head. You know, you're a promotional staff. You're there to promote the product. Okay? It doesn't mean you're an expert in anything. Trust me, I'm not an expert in anything, and I'll be the first one to call that out. I'm like the farthest example of any type of professional when it comes to hunting. I'm lucky, man, at best. And again, 134 charges against the team and owners of Wired Arrow. Something will stick. And I don't know these people personally. I'm not making this personal. They had gone to their Facebook page and said, you know, don't bail on us, which is fair. You know, until all these charges are proven to be exact. And, you know, again, that's fair. And from their Facebook page, they say their statements are, above all, Wired Arrow would first like to make clear that while we are being charged by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, these accusations have not gone in front of the judge, which is true, and or jury. Whatever evidence the IDNR has led them to believe they are guilty has yet to be shared with Wired Arrow. However, they claim numerous records that give us the impression we had a legal right to hunt each piece of property that we assessed. And, you know, again, they have made their claim that they felt that they were correct. So again, 134 charges, things are going to be looked at. Probably a lot may get dropped. But, you know, look, if you're doing this on television, you're doing it just for personal reasons, you need to have everything in order. I again, this is not me attacking Wired Arrow. That would be unfair. I'm just reporting a story with the facts that have been presented by the IDNR and by Wired Arrow. So, you know, if anybody from Wired Arrow would like to come on the show, would love to have you on to talk about these things. But then again, legality may say otherwise. So it's throwing it out there and nobody's being thrown under the bus here. This is a news story. We're following it and would love to hear the other side if you're able to. So anybody that knows anybody that's in this, in the violations being charged, would love to have you on. California Game Commission bans prizes in coyote contests, and this is something that's being seen around the country, not just California, not just the left coast. California Fish and Game Commission voted earlier this week to prohibit coyote hunting contests that offer cash and other prizes, marking the first outright ban of such events in the U.S. Notorious animal rights activist Camilla Fox of the Coyote Project led the move to ban the hunting derbies, which she depicted as immoral and reprehensible. Is she clear as to what coyotes do and that they are predators and they, if not controlled, they will, you know, can decimate a population? Also going on in Idaho, faced with pending litigation from anti-hunting, again, that word anti-hunting and environmental groups, the Bureau of Land Management has rescinded a permit for a hunting organization to include public land that it manages in a predator-killing contest near Salmon, Idaho, in January. The contest remains scheduled and it will take place on other U.S. Forest Service and private land as it did last year. Again, anti-hunting organizations getting involved, trying to tell us what we can legally hunt. And now, since they are going on to federal land, making a case that way, they again will find loopholes in ways to get around things. So keep your eyes open. Watch the anti-hunting community closely, closer than your friends, man, because they are the ones out to get your hunting rights. Keep it here. More information coming your way. This is Wild Michigan, wildmichiganradio.com on the Michigan Talk Network.